So soccer and politics have mixed it up big time in Brazil in the run-up to this World Cup. But that mix isn't unique to Brazil. Soccer plays a big role in the politics of many countries. Take Egypt. Soccer fans there often align themselves with the country's political factions, and hardcore fan groups were right in the thick of the protests that brought on Egypt's revolution in 2011. Bob Bradley knew all that when he took the job coaching Egypt's national soccer team. Bradley had coached the U.S. team at the 2010 World Cup, and he was still coaching in the U.S. during the protests in Cairo's Tahrir Square. He says he watched the protests on television with his U.S. players, unaware that his future lay in Egypt.
I think, like so many, we saw the way people came together and voiced their opinions. And in some ways, we saw this as a step forward for democracy.
And the hopes for democracy post-Tahrir Square, when you arrived in September of 2011, were very still much alive. But then there was this event that happened in February of 2012 while you were in Egypt, the deaths of 74 fans at a match between the teams Al Ahly and Al Masry. It seemed to be a simple case of football violence at first, but there are so many versions of what happened in the Port Said Stadium that night. Police inside the stadium did nothing to prevent the violence and refused to open the gates to allow fans to escape. What are your memories of that whole time?
That's a night that I'll never forget. We watched the first half on TV. You could tell that there was a tremendous amount of emotion in the stadium. And I'll never forget seeing the final whistle. And at that point, people storming out of the stands on the field and the players literally scrambling to get to the locker room. What caught your eye more than anything was the fact that the security that was on the field seemed to be doing nothing. And for the rest of the night, I followed events. I talked to my staff. And honestly, we knew right away that this was more than just fan violence. And really, to this day, many of the questions have never been answered. For the players, especially on Ali, many of whom were on the national team, their locker room was used as literally the first aid station. Mm. And so young people were brought in, many of whom actually died in the locker room. And it was a difficult moment because the league was shut down, and we knew that months later we would have a World Cup qualifier, and yet there was so much uncertainty as to what was going on with football in Egypt.
I mean, just so hard to imagine an event like that kind of taking place in the United States at any sporting event. I mean, as an American, how did all this kind of just strike you?
When you spend time in Egypt, one of the things that I took away was that it's easy to see what's on the surface, but that's only a small part of what's going on. Beneath the surface, there's different forces at work. When you have a national team and you have young people, many of whom have young children, and they're thinking about what they want Egypt to be like for their kids. Mm. And at that moment, there's so much instability and so much uncertainty. And at a difficult time in the country, the one thing that seemed to be common for everyone was this goal to get to the World Cup. And so we tried to think that we had a special opportunity and that we could do something that could make all Egyptians happy. And so that's how we tried to focus our efforts in the weeks and months that followed.
What do you say to the whole team? You get the team together after this horrible event, and you've got to give them some kind of pep talk. What do you say to them after, you know, just an event like that?
Well, the first time I saw the Ali players was 2 days later at the memorial at the club. And as soon as I saw them, I could tell, when I looked into their faces and their eyes, I could tell what they had seen. And many of them were talking about retiring and never playing football again. And little by little, we gave it time. I would often say that in difficult moments, we must be brothers. We must count on each other. And the most disappointing part is that we came so close. We won 7 of 8 World Cup qualifiers, but this time round, that wasn't quite enough.
I know you're not coaching a national team going to the World Cup this year, but 4 years ago, you were the coach for the U.S. team. Just take us into the head of a coach going to the World Cup. I mean, what is that like? It's got to be kind of an all-star moment, isn't it?
It's something you look forward to, obviously, as you go through qualifying. When you do qualify, you want to make sure you get every detail right in terms of how you pick your roster, the right chemistry. I used to tell the U.S. team over and over that you couldn't get to the World Cup and then flip a switch and become a team. You had to work at it every time you were together. And as you get closer, the excitement just grows and grows.
Wow. Bob, final two questions. Who are you rooting for and who's going to walk away with the cup?
I'm rooting for the U.S., of course, and I'll pick Spain.
Bob Bradley, former head coach of the men's U.S. national soccer team and the Egyptian national team. He's currently managing the Stabæk Club in Norway. Bob Bradley, thanks so much.
Thank you.